Thank you for listening to this sermon from Hope Church, Toronto West. It is our prayer that through these audio sermons, you are challenged and transformed by the Word of God, built up in love and faith, and drawn more to the person and work of Jesus Christ. Now, as you prepare your heart to receive God's Word, we pray that His Spirit would use the sermon powerfully in your life.
Well, I think it's true that all of us want the people in our lives to be truthful with us, don't we? I think it's true that we don't like people to lie to us. We don't feel respected when people twist the truth about things that matter to us. We don't appreciate it when people hide things from us that are very important to us. I think that's true. I think it's generally true, but as I grow older, I've come to realize that there are in fact times where we consciously and even subconsciously prefer to hear a lie over the truth. That there are times in our lives, whether we realize it or not, where you and I would actually be more open to hearing a twisted version of reality than hearing reality itself. Now you're asking yourself, why? When would I ever want to hear a twisted version of reality over hearing reality itself? And the answer to that question is when the truth itself hurts, or when reality itself hurts, when the truth itself makes us uncomfortable because it confronts us somehow, or when the truth itself is difficult for us to make sense of or apply to our lives. I think it's true that we would all be quick to say that we always want to hear the truth, but in actuality, if we really searched our hearts, perhaps we would find and discover that there are moments of our lives where we're far less open to embracing the truth, the way things really are, than we think. This morning, we're beginning a brand new sermon series entitled Ecclesiastes, Wisdom and the Meaning of Life. I want you to know from the outset that Ecclesiastes is a book in the Bible that's designed to bring us up out of the fictional fairy tale that we wish life was. Ecclesiastes is designed to bring us out of that fairy tale of what we wish life was and into the reality of what life actually is. Ecclesiastes is a painfully honest book in the Bible. It's a shockingly realistic book in the Bible. It's a somber and even negative book that tells us plainly not what we want to hear, but simply there's a description of the way things are. You're going to hear some things in Ecclesiastes about life that you wish were not a reality. You're going to be confronted with the ways you and I fantasize about life, and you're going to be told by Ecclesiastes, that's not the way life is. You're going to hear the plain truth about our existence in the world, and if you choose to embrace it and not close your ears to it, you may begin to realize the hollowness of much of what we think is actually fulfillment. So let's get situated here in Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes is classified within the genre of wisdom literature. Ecclesiastes is full of poetic contrasts and rhythmic sequences, but it's really one long monologue by one who is called in the text the preacher, someone who's experienced everything there is to experience and has come to a startling conclusion. We don't know exactly who the author is. We speculate that it's King Solomon, but we're just not sure. Whoever he is, he's been on a journey that we can only dream of and imagine. And here's the conclusion that he comes to in a sentence. His conclusion is this, that living well in this life begins with accepting the reality of death. Living well in this life begins with accepting the reality of death. So if you want to live well in this life, do you? Do you want to think clearly about your existence in this life? Do you want to perceive rightly and biblically how you are to live well in this life? If you are, if you want meaning, if you want purpose, if you want wisdom, then I invite you to take your Bibles with me and turn to the book of Ecclesiastes. If you're having trouble finding it, Ecclesiastes is right near the middle of the Bible. You find the big book of Psalms, and you turn right, Psalms, Proverbs, and there you'll find Ecclesiastes. We're going to begin in chapter 1, and we're going to go verse 1 to 11, and we're going to make our way right through the book of Ecclesiastes over the next number of weeks. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 1 to 11, this is what it says. It says, the words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, vanity of vanities. All is vanity. What does man gain by all the toil at which he toils under the sun? A generation goes and a generation comes, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun goes down and hastens to the place where it rises. The wind blows to the south and goes around to the north. Around and around goes the wind, and on its circuits the wind returns. All the streams run to the sea, but the sea is not full. To the place where the streams flow, there they flow again. All things are full of weariness. A man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. What has been is what will be. What has been done is what will be done. And there is nothing new under the sun. Is there a thing of which it is said, see, this is new? It has been already in the ages before us. There is no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of latter things yet to be among those who come after. Feels heavy, doesn't it? And no doubt you're thinking to yourself, what does it mean? What is he saying? Well, right at the outset, the preacher wants to bring us into reality. So we're going to come up with some real talk for real life from the text. We're going to get started with this. If you have a pen, write this down. Point number one is this. A life is short and elusive. You cannot master it. Life is short and elusive. You cannot master it. Notice verse 1. It says, the words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. He says, vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. Well, we need to start with the word vanity. The word vanity here is an important word in Ecclesiastes. Some Bibles translate the word meaningless, but I don't think that captures the essence of what the preacher is trying to convey here in Ecclesiastes. The Hebrew word for vanity is hevel. Now, I don't often take time to bring to you Hebrew and Greek words. I don't like to preach my homework. I don't like to bring to you what I found in the study in that regard. But hevel is an important word. That word vanity means hevel. It's a significant word that carries a significant theme. What does it mean? Well, hevel is translated breath or breeze. It could be understood to refer to a vapor or smoke or a mist. That word hevel, it's used 38 times throughout Ecclesiastes, and it's consistent with how the rest of Scripture describes our lives for us in this world. In Psalm 39, verse 5 on the screen, it says, behold, you have made my days a few handbreadths, and my lifetime is as nothing before you. Surely all mankind stands as a mere breath, hevel. In Psalm 144, verse 4, it says, man is like a breath, hevel. His days are like a passing shadow. You see, what the preacher has come to terms with right at the outset of his monologue is this: life as we know it is but a vapor. It's like a mist. It's like smoke. It's like a breath. It's like a breeze. It's here one moment, and in an instant, it is gone. Life in this world is short, hevel. But not only is life short, like a vapor, like a mist, like a breath, but the preacher wants us to understand that life is also elusive. Elusive. It's difficult to catch. It's hard to grasp. Have you ever tried to lay hold of a vapor? Have you ever tried to put your arms around smoke? Have you ever tried to catch a breath and put it in your purse or stick it in your pocket and hold on to it? Try to control it. Try to master it. You can't. Right at the outset, the preacher is concerned with bringing us all into reality. And this is just the beginning of his unfolding argument. No matter how you slice it, no matter what you want to think about it, this life in this world is short and it is elusive. And no matter how hard you try, you cannot master it. No matter how hard you try, you can't get your arms around it to control it. It's all hevel, vanity. It's like a vapor. It's short, this life, and it's elusive. Now think about this. You can be the best driver in the world, but what control do you really have over what happens to you on the road? What control do you have over the drunk driver or the reckless driver or the young driver or the elderly driver or the squirrel that suddenly appears in front of you? You have no control. You can be the most savvy financial investor, but what control do you have over the stock market? What control do you have over the real estate market? What control do you have over the interest rates? What control do you have in the midst of a global pandemic? None. Life is short and it is elusive. And we try to master it. We try to control it. And right at the outset, the preacher wants to help us take one step out of the fairy tale, out of the Disneyland that we want life to be. And he wants to bring us back into the reality of what life is. Life is short and life is elusive. Try to master it. You can't. David Gibson wrote this on the screen. He wrote, when we consider the brevity of our lives set against the millennia of the earth, we know that what the preacher says is true. Except, of course, in everyday life, we pretend it isn't. You imagine we can live forever, or at the very least, someone else will get cancer, not us. We think our lives are built with granite, not sand. We pretend we're in control. The preacher wants to begin this beautiful journey ahead of us in Ecclesiastes by helping us to acknowledge the Disneyland that we set up for ourselves that we wish life was. And he says, will you take a step out of that fairy tale and will you come with me into reality? This is real talk. This is real life. Life is short and life is elusive. You can't grab it. You can't control it. You can't master it. This is step one for us, church family. Stepping into the way things are, it's just the way it is what the preacher is saying. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. Notice now verse 3. The preacher asks, what does man gain? That's an important word, gain. What does man gain by all the toil at which he toils under the sun? The phrase under the sun, it's also an important phrase in Ecclesiastes. It's mentioned 29 times, and it refers to life from a human perspective in this world. So from a human perspective in this world, the preacher asks, what does a man gain by all the toil under the sun? And his implied answer is nothing. There's no ultimate gain in this life. There's no ultimate gain in our pursuits. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't aspire to accomplish things. It doesn't mean that we won't find joy and fulfillment in our work. No, life is to be enjoyed. The preacher is going to take us there. But for now, he's trying to demolish the false notion that we often live by, the notion that we are in control in this life. That what we do here in this life will last forever in this world. That all of our pursuits in this world are of ultimate gain. That what we leave behind will in fact last forever. And if that's what we believe, then the preacher says you're not living in reality. That's not how life is. There's no ultimate gain here. Now here's a question for you. Do you live like the things we do here are ultimate gain? You're trying to lay hold of that which you cannot lay hold of. It's a vapor, it's a mist, but are you trying to grab life and hold on to it and stick it in your pocket and keep it under control or put it in your purse or stick it on a shelf and control it such that all your pursuits you believe are ultimate gain? You can master it. The preacher wants us to take one step forward together. One simple but important and very difficult step for many of us. A step out of the fairy tale that we so wish life was. And a step into the way it really is. Real talk for real life. Life is short and elusive. You cannot master it. Secondly, this, life is cyclical and repetitive. You cannot be satisfied by it. Life is cyclical and repetitive. You cannot be satisfied by it. Let's look at verse 3 again. He says, what does man gain by all the toil at which he toils under the sun? The answer is nothing. There's no ultimate gain in this life and in this world. And the preacher demonstrates this in the very next verses. The preacher goes on to illustrate the brevity and elusive nature of life through a rhythmic pattern of poetry. I want you to listen to it. I want you to feel it. I want you to look at it in verse 4-7. He says, a generation goes and a generation comes, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun goes down and hastens to the place where it rises. The wind blows to the south and it goes around to the north. Around and around goes the wind, and on its circuits the wind returns. All streams run to the sea, but the sea is not full to the place where the streams flow. There they will flow again. The three images used to convey the repetitive and cyclical pattern of life in this world. The sun goes up and the sun comes down. The wind blows around and around. The streams run into the sea and soon they will flow again. And this is how life is, says the preacher. And this is where we find the folly of the human heart exposed, because we don't want life to be like that. We don't want life to be repetitive and cyclical. We want to master life. We want to alter the repetitive cycles of life. We want something new to happen to us. We want something significant to happen to us. We want something different to happen to us. Something that will give us the deep satisfaction that we're looking for. That's what we want. But notice now verse 8 to 10. He says, all things are full of weariness. A man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. What has been is what will be, and what has been done is what will be done. And there is nothing new under the sun. Is there a thing of which it is said, see, this is new? It has been already in the ages before us. And David Gibson goes on to write this on the screen. He says, the preacher's perspective is this. Humans long to come across something in their lives that will break the constant repetitive cycle, something to say or see or hear that will be truly new and therefore significant, but there is nothing. No such thing exists. Think about this. Have you ever done something or experienced something or earned something and thought to yourself, that's it. I've seen it all. I've heard it all. I've said it all. I've done it all. Never. Never. For example, you graduate elementary school, you go on to high school. You graduate high school, you go on to post-secondary school. You graduate post-secondary school, maybe you go on to graduate school. After post-secondary school or graduate school, you pursue a career path. On the journey of your career path, you pursue a role of greater influence or income or comfort or status. After you achieve your role of greater influence or income or comfort or status, you set yourself up for retirement. And I've spoken to people who've retired well and people who haven't retired very well, and they all come to the same realization. This life is not ultimate gain. Whether they're spending their retirement on a beach for the rest of their days or whether they're stuck in low-income housing for the rest of their days, their conclusion is the same. Soon, I'm going to die. That's what they realize more than ever. Exactly what the preacher has realized himself. This is not ultimate gain. Soon, I'm going to die. And the faster we realize that fact, the faster we step out of our Disneyland of what we wish life was, the faster we step into the reality of what life is. It's hevel, it's a vapor, it's a breath. It is short. It is elusive. I can't master it. Nothing in this life is of ultimate gain. The faster we realize that, the faster we will be able to live well in this world. For God's glory, for our good, in real life, not in the fairy tale that we wish was. Real talk for real life. Life is short and elusive. You cannot master it. Life is cyclical and repetitive. You cannot be satisfied by it. Finally, this. Death is inevitable and imminent. Live well by accepting it. Live well by accepting it. Look at verse 11. He says, there is no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of latter things yet to be among those who come after. Seems depressing. Seems negative. seems discouraging, but it's not. It's real life. And the more we try to master life, and the more we persist in pretending that we're in control, and the more we insist on chasing satisfaction with the futile attempts at disrupting the natural patterns of life, the more we set ourselves up for a fall. Why? Because life under the sun, life in this world, is not all there is. Take it from the preacher who experienced everything, who saw everything, who said everything, who heard everything, who had everything. At the end of it all, he said, it's all hevel. Life is short. It's elusive. No matter what I've seen and what I've said and what I've heard, nothing in this world is of ultimate gain for me. Life is more than what is here and now under the sun. Take it from the preacher. This was his startling conclusion. The faster we accept reality, we will not be here forever. We're going to be here for a short time. The things we do, they're not going to last forever. The things we've achieved and think we're going to pass on to the next generation, they're not going to go on and on and on forever. It's hevel. It's a vapor. Here one day, it's gone the next. What does this mean for us? It means everything for us because we are people of another world. The Christian hope is in nothing in this world. And yet, how many people and how many Christians and how many churches around the world are populated with people who are living as if this life is ultimate gain, that I will be here forever, that my work will last forever, that my legacy will last forever, failing to accept the reality. This life is short. What I do will likely not last. And then I'm going to die. Life on this earth, under the sun, is not all there is. And maybe you've heard some bad theology in some churches that have taught you, yo, this is what the Christian life is about. It's all about you. Health, wealth, and prosperity, money for you. You're awesome. You're amazing. It's all about you. It's all about now. And that's why so many Christians are living in the fairy tale of what they wish life was, the fairy tale of what some preacher is feeding them, that this life is about your health and your wealth and your prosperity. And when death comes around the corner, they're stunned and startled and they don't know what to do. There's more to life than what's under the sun. And my prayer for our church is that we would be people who understand the brevity and elusive nature of life, who understand nothing in this world, no matter what I do, no matter how influential I think I am, is ultimate gain. So prepare to die. And the preacher says, as you prepare to die, only when you prepare to die can you truly live. That's what the preacher is saying. So in the weeks to come, the preacher will continue to show us that this life is not ultimate gain, but, listen to me now, but this life is a gift. This life is a gift, and until we begin to accept death, we won't be able to enjoy the gift, which is life. Life is gift, not gain. And when you understand that life is gift, not gain, you begin to enjoy the gift and fear God and give him glory for all your days. I pray that as we move forward, that what we're doing here today is taking one step out of the fairy tale of what we wish life was. And we can plant both feet firmly into the reality of what the preacher tells us life really is. Let's pray together. Well, Father, we're often shocked by the things your word tells us. And it's because, Lord, I look at my own life and how far my perception is from reality. How far my perception is from what your word says about life. Oh, Lord, I pray in this room that all of us would be taking one step out of the fantasy that we wish life was. Planting both our feet firmly into the reality of what life is. Lord, if there's anyone in this room, and I'm there so often, we're living like this place is ultimate gain. And who are falling and falling and falling over and over again because this life is not ultimate gain. I pray we would stand in the reality of the hevel of life, the vapor, the mist. And as we stand in this mist, that we would begin to realize the gift, not the gain, the gift. And that we can live well for the glory of Jesus Christ, for the advance of the great mission in the midst of this mist. That all of history is moving towards the gathering and redemption of saints from around the world to bring them into a kingdom where life truly is. Let us be a church who stands firmly in our hope. Our hope is in Christ, Christ alone. So help us to live well. Help us to live well, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. All right.
For more resources and information about Hope Church Toronto West, please visit hopechurchtw.ca.